Welcome to Nerd and the Noob, episode 67. It's all about Captain America. Hello! How are you doing this week? You good?
I'm good.
So for those that don't know, we are live at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. Instead of 8 o'clock at night on Sunday. This is very weird. Both of us have... Well, I just woke up like an hour and a half ago. What?
We're forgetting something.
What?
Welcome to Nerd and the Noob. My name is Greg. I am your nerd.
And I'm Michael. I'm the noob. If you'd like to follow us or watch us live or listen to us or any of those good things, then we've got lots of links that you can check out.
At the end of the show, so listen to the rest of it.
The first one you can check out is the Facebook page, which you can just simply go to nerdandthenoob.com. We'll take you to the Facebook page, and it tells you all the stories we talk about every week. You can follow us on Twitter.
I'm going to hit you. Noob. They have to listen to the whole thing.
You can watch us live on Twitch TV at twitch.tv/nerdandthenoob. It's really simple. Guys, you gotta do it. Guys and girls. But other than
or that. Or in between.
So yeah, this week's show is, it's all about Captain America. We did not build this show. Normally, we sit down, we build the show with the producer, but the producer's not here with us this week. He built the show earlier today, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But he's got things to do because we're doing it earlier because the nerd is going out of town.
Louisiana!
He's going to Louisiana.
I think I'm going to the toe.
The toe? Okay.
I thought I was going ankle.
Yeah.
High ankle. But I think it's the toe.
Oh.
I don't think I'm anywhere near the heel.
You're going to bring me something back from there, right?
Gator?
I don't want a gator.
What about like a gator scale?
A scale gator?
Scaligator?
Scaligator? So stupid. You're so stupid. Anyway, so yeah, producer's not here with us, so we've got Spencer filling in the chat. We want to say hi to the chat because this is a live show. Hello, everybody. I guess we're going to jump into it. We're going to get into the main event, which apparently is all about Captain America. We got lots of stuff to talk about. First one is, we talked last week or week before.
Last week about
Chris Evans retiring. So it has.
We assumed it was going to be after
Cap 2.
No, Avengers 2.
Oh, okay.
And there has. He has come out and straight up said, I have a 6-movie contract, which means after Cap 2, he's still got Cap 3, Avengers 2, and Avengers 3.
That's a long time before retiring. So yeah, it says he's taking the time to confirm his statement. We're looking at an article from, what is that, Latest News Explorer?
It says Chris went on record to clarify a couple of things. He says, with acting, you're... no, that's the old thing. He says that with all of the drama that happened about his announcement last week, right. He says, oh yeah, that was a big thing. I gotta watch what I say. I will absolutely clarify. I have a 6-movie contract with Marvel, and I absolutely plan on fulfilling them.
This is without doubt the biggest blessing in my life. Marvel has literally changed the game for me, and they make great movies. I did direct last year. It was a really fantastic experience. I really enjoyed it.
So I'm certainly looking to do a bit more of that. So when it comes to exploring other acting jobs, I may not be as proactive in trying to find those. I may kind of stick with my Marvel universe in terms of getting in front of the camera and then getting behind the camera outside of it.
So that's funny.
I like that he's clarified with everybody that he's, you know, he's going to be around for these movies. I still think at some point you get the death of Steve Rogers.
We're going to talk about that because that's going to link into something else we've got going on in a little bit. I just weed on myself with my water bottle there. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute because we've got several links in the main event here, and we want to make sure we get to all of them. What you doing? Oh. Moving the water bottle.
It was in the way.
The second link we've got is Captain America 3 to go up against Batman versus Superman.
So, Marvel has had the date set for Cap 3 for a while. It's a pre-planned thing that's gone back for a good little ways. But recently, Warner Brothers has decided to put Batman vs. Superman on the same day. May 6th, 2016 is the pre-planned day.
For Cap 3 and Batman
vs. Superman.
So, here's the thing with that. I liked the Superman movie. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not the biggest fan of the Cap movies. But, that being said, I liked the Captain America movie better than Superman.
Counterpoint. It will destroy opening day box office grosses for both.
What having them both on the same day?
Yes. And I don't mean in a good way.
Right.
If
you're going to divide
it. You're splitting the nerd culture.
Because you're essentially splitting Marvel versus DC.
If you're splitting these groups of people, you are splitting your profit from that overall opening drive.
So do you think the Batman versus Superman people are trying to do this? Are they doing this on purpose?
Definitely. But I think okay, Marvel hasn't really been late with any of their movies.
Right.
And not that I know of. I don't have a schedule in front of me, but I haven't really seen them be late. Batman versus Superman was supposed to be made into was supposed to be Justice League this year or something. And then it was supposed to be shooting and ready for next year. And now it's not even that. It's 2016.
Right.
So I have no problem thinking that pure either post-production or, shooting production are going to go long.
Yeah.
And this is going to get changed.
So, Spencer in the chat actually says, and I agree with him, he says, I'll be at the movies all day then. That's actually not a bad idea. If they both hit the same day,
yeah, but
I'm not going to go opening weekend.
But that's the experience, though. Like, I want to go to the big movie at, 12:01 midnight for that first showing. I like doing those. And now I have to pick and choose. And to be completely honest, with the track record that they have, I'm going Marvel.
Right.
I love the DC characters. I think a Batman versus Superman movie, because I love that part in the Frank Miller Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be cool. They don't have the current track record that Marvel does. I mean,
agreed.
They're going to have to jack that character up between Cap 2 and Avengers 2 to really keep that from being a good thing.
Right. No, I see, but I think it might be interesting. So one of two things is going to happen for me. Either I'm going to see one weekend and one the next. And let me just tell you, unless forced, I never go opening night. Hardly ever go opening weekend. A lot of times on these big budget ones,
I love the crowds.
I don't like the crowds.
I went and saw it with a buddy at work. I saw Avengers, and he's kind of like you. He doesn't do the big crowds and all that stuff a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But even both of us were like when Hulk nails Thor in the side of the head while they're standing in the hangar, we're clapping along with everybody else laughing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I don't enjoy the movie experience with a filled theater.
Yeah.
What I don't like is getting to the theater and there's no parking, and you've got 200 people standing out. Chilling out. It drives me nuts. I don't like that.
Okay.
So here's what I'd like to see. I would love to take a camera in. And we may have you do this. I may find my old little stick cam.
Yeah.
And give it to you if you go opening night.
On either movie.
Assuming they stay on the same one. Give you my camera and just let you walk
in. The theater.
And I want to see, not necessarily.
Sorry, the theaters are going to be like this too. Okay, people.
Marvel
on this side. DC's on this side.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Because if you do that, because then you're going to have a whole bunch of Supermans and Batmans on one side. And then you're going to have a whole bunch of
Captain America's
Spider-Mans on the other side. I'm just like, yes.
What was weird is when I went and saw Iron Man, Spider-Man sat behind me. That's in my Twitter feed somewhere.
That's weird.
When I went to see Iron Man 3, I'm sitting there and I'm looking on my phone, not paying attention. I turn the camera on and I look at it and I see in the corner of the picture that Spider-Man's behind me. And I go, I go like this. I go, click. And I turn the camera And I send it, I go, oh my God, look who's behind me. What was funny is he went to get up and he started to say, excuse me, to go behind, beside everybody. And then one of his buddy goes, don't puss out now, go over the rail.
Oh, I love it. So this is why I want you to record it, because Twinkie in the chat actually also says,
there's going
to
be a lot of fights.
There's going to be a lot of fights. So I want you to take the camera, because I want to see all these guys running around, and I quote, going, no, I'm Batman, getting in fights with each other, and then going, wait a minute, there's that guy over there, let's go kick his butt. And they go run over, and they try to beat Captain America, but then you got the Captain America guys, all with their shields, going, go away, go away, go away, go away. I want to see this. So...
I think it's
going to be a fun thing.
If it happens, it could be fun. I think you're going to see, you won't get Iron Man 3 box office numbers.
No.
It's not going to happen, because you're splitting them, you're splitting the two universes.
Next story we've got for this is Sebastian Stan talks the Winter Soldier character and his 9-picture deal with Marvel. I have an ad. I can't make it go away.
Scroll up further.
No, it's not letting me go. Did I hit the ad by accident? Was it my fault?
I think it's that.
What?
Anyway, continue.
Let's hope that didn't show back up. So this is a recent interview with Newsarama, Captain America, the Winter Soldier star, Sebastian... Where did it go?
Stan.
Stan. Sorry, this is a little bit bigger than I can read. Talks about his role as Bucky, or the Winter Soldier, and his Marvel contract. When asked if his Marvel deal, which he considers great job security, will allow him to appear in more films, he responded, yes. I think I actually have 9. Newsarama then asked Stan if he knew what was going to be the Winter Soldier, or knew he was going to be the Winter Soldier when he played Bucky in the first Avenger. Here's an excerpt from the interview.
I did and I didn't. It was a maybe. It led me to prepare myself for the just in case, but I'm not the guy who gets to shoot the movies. When we wrapped, I had no idea if we'd be back. A lot of that has to do with fan response, the public response. But I did really hope that I'd get to play the character again.
Right.
I had no problem knowing that he was going to be... Like, before they, when they said Bucky's in it and then he dies, I immediately stood up in a room somewhere going, Winter Soldier next!
Right. So, if he has a 9-picture deal.
I think
he. So he's been in Cap 1.
And now he's gonna be in Cap 2.
And Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So.
He's gonna get a part in Avengers, I think.
So, here's what me and Les have been talking about.
Winter Soldier, he's gonna get.
He's gonna
Avengers be Avengers 2. He'll get Cap 3.
I don't think he's getting Avengers 2.
He'll get in Avengers 2 somehow. Maybe if it's just a cameo.
Maybe a cameo.
That still counts in part of the deal.
Well, okay.
He'll get Cap 3. He'll get Black Widow.
Why Black Widow?
Because she's Russian espionage.
What does that have to do with anything?
Soldier is Russian.
Right, but I don't know if that happens.
It happens.
I think...
That's 5.
This is what I think.
Okay.
I think... Cap 3 is Chris Evans' last one, or Avengers 3, one of the two.
I think Avengers 3 will come after.
Is Chris Evans' last one.
And you think they try to do a fourth?
I think they're going to do a death of Captain America.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. And in the comics, after Captain America dies, Bucky takes over as Captain America.
They are very clear in the comics, because everybody has always said that. Captain America never dies.
Okay.
Steve Rogers dies.
Okay. And so I think Bucky takes over. And this is I think this is their way to keep consistency in the Avengers.
I think that character at that point will kind of fall off.
What?
The Captain America character. Uh-huh. Like he will become a background character.
You think Bucky's going to run it?
I think Bucky will be.
I think if there's an Avengers 4. Mm. Okay. Because think about it. The Avengers movies. When you initially think about them, you think about the Avengers movies as Cap, Thor, Iron Man, da-da-da-da-da. But after Avengers 3, if they wanted to do another Avengers...
I think Avengers 3 is going to have more than 3/4 of the next generation.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. If you jump into Avengers 3 with the current people, by Avengers 4, you're going to have Doc Strange... Wakanda dude, Black Panther, Ant-Man, and the new Captain America.
I think it's really interesting that he's saying it is a 9-picture deal. So That also leads me to believe that these aren't going away. I would be willing to bet some of these movies become less super heroic and more about the context or about what's in them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Captain America, the Ed Brubaker run, was all about espionage. It was not a superhero comic book. It was a crime, noir, espionage type of book.
Right.
So I think you start getting stories like that where it's less about them being the superheroes that they are and more about being the characters.
Right.
And then coming off of all of that, to finish up our Cap talk conversation, the brothers Russo, Joe and Anthony, will return as directors for Cap 3. They have announced it.
Go right.
The quote.
It says, well, now that Kevin Feige,
mm-hmm.
Feige, God, I hate his name, said it, that means we can talk about it, I guess. That's great. We're just in the formative stages of it right now. We just started breaking story with screenwriters, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, and we're just getting an idea of what we want to do with it. It's crazy working on it before the movie even comes out, because you want to see what people respond to in the movie. They're talking about two versus three.
Yeah.
You want to get some inspiration from what people like about the film, so you go, okay, this is what we got to lean into the next movie, or this is what we should move away from. This doesn't work so well. So we're just in that phase of breaking story, but waiting to see how people respond to the movie. I'm telling you, they're waiting to see if people like Bucky. Cap 3
is going... You think he ends up being a good guy by the end of the movie? Like, he turns sides?
Ooh, if that hasn't been leaked yet, I don't know. That's where you're talking about him being in the Avengers? That's where I see him in the Avengers. He may turn in the Avengers.
I think Avengers is going to... Avengers 2 is going to focus again on the Germans, and it's going to focus on Thanos storyline again. I don't see a whole lot of reason for the Russian super soldier to be there.
Right. So I'm actually glad for this, because like I said, I really enjoyed the first Captain America.
Comic book fans love one thing: continuity.
Right.
When you have continuity, and Marvel...
You mean unlike X-Men?
The Marvel Universe is shitty with continuity.
You mean like X-Men? Can I do that again? You mean like X-Men?
Oh, God.
I really, really I like those movies, but the continuity is so awful.
No, I'm talking about in the comics. It's great to have continuity.
Right, so which is now why I like Geoff Johns.
The fact that we're getting to watch comics happen, you know, they're creating a comic book universe in movie form.
By the way, I just came up with our question of the week.
Well, wait till later.
Okay. I'll forget it by then.
So, I love all of this, but we're going to move on now.
Yeah, so here's what I want. I want you guys to think about this, and I'm going to do the question of the week now. All right, but we'll repeat it later.
Okay.
Considering all the Captain America talk, and the Bucky talk, and the Winter Soldier, and all that stuff, I want to know, or we want to know, what you think is going to include the 9-movie deal. Currently, Sebastian Stan has been in 2. Both caps. And that's it. Yes, I don't know why I did that. So he's been in 2. That being said, he's got another 7 to go. So we want to know, I want to know what you think he's going to be, what his part is going to be in the rest of his 7-movie deal. I'll figure out a better way to word that by the end of the show. But that's what I want to know. Somewhere... Facebook it to us, tweet it to us, let us know. That's your question of the week.
Moving down to the new versus, which is normally our discussion of who beats who, but right now we are in March Madness.
Mwah, la, la, la.
And instead it's Nerd Madness Part 2.
Yeah. We have made it to, and I've got a link and I can't scroll over. Go away. Go away. I meant to make this bigger, aren't I? There we go. We just finished round 2, so all the round 2 votings came in, and we've got some great matchups for round 3. So we're gonna do this like we did last week.
I'll take one pair. You'll take the next pair.
Right.
Okay. The first pairings were Hulk versus Havoc and Ant-Man versus Killer Croc. Both of those were sweeps. Hulk versus Ant-Man. Which has happened. I think Ant-Man gets his in his ear, presses something, and Hulk goes, oh, and sleeps.
Ooh. So Hulk could actually get knocked out.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm actually surprised there's 3 votes for Havoc. I may have been one of those. Because I just didn't want to see Hulk win again. Our next matchup was Terminator versus Leonardo and Doomsday versus Batgirl.
Feel bad for that one.
So, yeah. Terminator versus Leonardo was a close one, but Terminator came out on top of that one.
I thought Leo had a chance.
He did. It was 12-15.
Yeah.
So it was close. And Doomsday beat the bejesus out of Batgirl. So we're going to have a Terminator versus Doomsday. That's an interesting one.
That is interesting. I don't think it lasts long, though.
You don't think so?
No, I think Doomsday just goes, you know, he gets shot by the shotgun, looks at him.
Yes! Go ahead. Sorry, I was reading our next pairing.
Oh, the one I've got?
Yeah.
Daryl Dixon versus Doctor Who and Cyclops versus Luke Cage.
And who beat Daryl Dixon?
Doctor Who.
That's right. You know how many people looked at me and went, I think Daryl Dixon will win. I almost punched a dude.
And Cyclops beat Luke Cage, barely actually, to give us Doctor Who versus Cyclops.
I almost punched a dude.
Doctor Who could go pretty damn far.
Almost punched a dude. next up, we've got Harry Potter versus Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yeah.
And Captain America versus Yoda. Surprisingly, actually unsurprisingly, Yoda beat the pants off of Captain America.
Yep.
By double. And Harry Potter destroyed Dread Pirate Roberts.
Not happening. So,
Harry Potter versus Yoda. Magic versus the Force. Right? Right?
No, see, I don't think it... As much as I don't want him to win, Yoda does this. Why don't you have flick?
No. But he can't do his mind tricks because Harry's Harry Potter is trained in that mind thing to stop Voldemort from getting into his brain.
He doesn't have to. He just goes, well, why don't you have?
Go ahead.
And he flicks it.
No!
Next up was Walker, Texas Ranger, and Loki, and Agent Coulson versus Ghost Rider. Coulson beats out Ghost Rider, surprisingly, and Loki stomped the ever-loving crap out of Walker, Texas Ranger.
You know
Ranger.
What this means?
What?
We get a rematch.
Of what?
Loki versus Coulson.
When did that
happen? Coulson lost in the movie.
Oh. I didn't think about that. That's funny.
Coulson already... This is a foregone conclusion.
But he knows now.
He knows now. Yeah. He knows to go, ooh, stabby thing. Stay away from me.
Next.
Oh, my God. How does that happen? It's completely random, and how does that happen? All right, next one we had Galactus versus Green Arrow. Galactus just... beat the bejesus out of him.
And by that we mean stepped
and,
on him.
Oh my God, really? Deadpool versus Batman.
Huh.
Deadpool won.
I'll be damned.
So we're going to have a Galactus versus Deadpool. So a big giant
God
versus a dude that can't die.
I'm sure if you crush enough of him.
I don't know.
Okay. Next up we have Wolverine versus Hal Jordan, Green Lantern. And Carnage versus Optimus Prime. And Green Lantern beat Wolverine.
Whoop, whoop!
And Optimus Prime beats the crap out of Carnage.
Wow.
I can see both of those going either way, though.
And then I think our last one was Punisher versus Gambit. Punisher barely got that one. And Thor versus Peter Griffin. And I voted for him, and apparently one other person did too. Because Thor stomped the crap out of him. So we're going to have Punisher versus Thor. I think that one's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
So that's some really good matchups.
And that is our nerdy 16.
Those are some really, really good matchups. I had to cover up the chat, so now I got to go through and see what the chat says. Let's see... We got some people going about Captain America. Rest in peace. Let's see. If Galactus dies, I'm going to cry. Got a lot of LOLs.
And they're arguing Deadpool will win. No, Galactus will win. No, Deadpool will win.
Yeah, I'm voting Deadpool. Absolutely. In a heartbeat.
I think Deadpool could win because he'd go to Reed Richards and go, hey, where's the nullifier?
So, which one are we picking? I know which one I want to pick.
You want to scroll through them one more time?
I know. I can't. It's
just not... scroll down. That's the battles.
Oh. I want... Ooh, Harry Potter versus Yoda is not bad.
No.
I want Loki versus Coulson.
Are we doing that?
I think Loki versus Coulson would make a great new versus for us this week.
Okay.
So, I'm going Agent Coulson.
Oh, I got no problem thinking Loki will wipe him up again.
Because I think it happened once, and he survived it. It ain't going to happen again.
Yeah,
Loki. And not to mention, Coulson now has a team.
Oh, jeez.
That's right. Oh. He's got the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Call back.
All right, let's move on.
So yeah, guys, this week's new versus is Loki versus Agent Coulson
amongst all of our Sweet 16 there.
Make sure you go and you vote and let us know on Facebook. Our producer goes nuts with this every time. It's so much fun.
We have one coming attraction this week, one clip that we found that you guys might be interested in. Spidey confronting Electro in Times Square from the new Spider-Man movie. So if you're interested in spoilers, keep them to yourself.
Cause we haven't done the spoiler tag this time. But yeah, so wow, that's actually a lot. Like little. Like there's very few. We usually get like six freaking, coming attractions. Alright, so now we're gonna move into rapid fire. We do have a fair bit of Marvel news. Terry Crews from The Expendables and The Longest Yard wants to be Luke Cage for, I believe it's the Netflix. Yeah, for the Netflix project.
So, just a weird Terry Crews thing.
Uh-huh.
Last year, we're sitting there at work and all of a sudden I get a link and it says, Control Terry Crews. And it was an Old Spice link.
Right.
And dude was sat up in a pair of like biker short things. That's all he had on because he doesn't like shirts. They repel, apparently, or itch. And he sits like this, and he's got diodes on, like, 50 muscles. And there's, like, a ton of stuff all around him. And he starts doing this. Tink, tink. And he's doing playing the instruments using his muscles. And by the end of it, it's like, ah! And all the stuff's going off, and he goes, fire mouth! And he, like, clenches his back or something, and this mouth opens, and flame flies out. It was the stupidest damn thing, but it makes me laugh.
I'm gonna have to look at that.
It was Terry Crews playing music with his muscles, and it was funny as all hell.
No,
you're not going to find it right now.
I'm not. I'm going up here. We got an article here from Collider, and it says that, let's see, with production starting soon of the new Netflix Marvel stuff, many of us have started to wonder who will land the coveted roles. In the past, fans have been vocal about wanting Terry Crews to play Luke Cage. The other day, I spoke with the actor in anticipation of Tyler Perry's The Single Moms Club, and during our conversation, I asked him about the possibility of taking on the role. While Crews previously took himself out of the running for the role since it wasn't actually moving forward, now that it is, he definitely sounded a lot more interested despite the fact that he's under contract for Fox's Brooklyn Nine-Nine, saying anything can happen and I'm game. As a big fan of Crews, I'd love to see him land the role, hit the jump for what he has to say. There we go.
Anything can happen. All I know is scheduling and all that stuff. Anything can happen. I'm open to all kinds of things, but who knows? Actually, I took myself out of Luke Cage running a while back just because people were saying nothing was going to happen. It was Idris versus Michael Jai, and I'm like, wait a minute. That is not even greenlit. Can we talk Marvel? Can we talk to Marvel? Why are you talking to me? Don't put me against my homeboy for a movie that's not existing. Wow. Michael Jai. Idris Elba can't do it. He's already in the world.
Yeah.
Michael Jai White. I don't think he's big enough. Terry Crews is actually big enough. I just don't know if he can come off as really... Because there is some dramatic stuff. Granted, he's kind of a... He came out in the 70s during, you know, blaxploitation and stuff like that. That's when the character came out.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on where you go with the role. But nowadays, he's a much more serious character.
Right. Fair enough. Next thing we got is Bryan Singer says X-Men Apocalypse. Pause for cheer. We'll have mass destruction. I'm going to let you have this one.
While it seems folks are anxiously awaiting the next installment of the X-Men franchise with Days of Future Past, there's even more excitement. God, that years of that. Waiting in the wings as director Bryan Singer moves right into the in-betweequel of X-Men Apocalypse next. While little has been said about the next entry in the franchise, Singer has let loose some details to TotalFilm.com, giving away the time period and the scope. On the setting, we're going to deal with the notion of ancient mutants, the fact that they were born and existed thousands of years ago. But it's a contemporary movie. Well, sort of. It'll take place in the 1980s. The 80s is a period now. It's hard for me to believe that.
On the scope and spectacle of the forthcoming entry, Apocalypse will have more of the mass destruction that X-Men films to date have not relied upon. There's definitely now a character and a story that allow room for that kind of spectacle. As for the process of the 2016 sequel, Singer says, "We're currently breaking the story. We're almost ready to go. Dan Harris, Michael Daltrey, and Simon Kinberg are in the office across the street from me working on story stuff right now. It's great to have Dan and Michael back."
Can I just clap and say for the first time ever you did not call him Michael Kinsberg?
What did I say?
Kinberg. His name. You always call him Kinsberg.
You mean Simon Kinberg?
That's what I meant.
Okay.
And on that. The X-Men characters that will be featured in Apocalypse, I don't want to get too specific, but we'll introduce familiar characters in a younger time. That'll be fun to show the audience. I call these movies in-betweenquels. It's a mind F, sometimes in terms of where things fall in the timeline.
That's because all the X-Men movies are a mind F. They cannot get these straight. It's like they pick a storyline and they go, okay, well, we want to use the same actors.
Yeah.
So how do we make this work? Like, you can't make Jennifer Lawrence get young again.
I don't care how old she gets. She's hot.
Well, you know, that being what it is. So that's really cool. It's going to be interesting, I think. Then we got some Ant-Man news.
Yes.
Patrick Wilson confirms important role in Edgar Wright's Ant-Man.
At the end of last month, we learned Patrick Wilson was close to joining Ant-Man, and the actor has now confirmed he has a role in Edgar Wright's upcoming film. Wilson obviously couldn't reveal much about Ant-Man when he spoke with Screen Rant. However, he does say his role is an important, air quotes.
He says, so we're going to do question. I'm going to do the question, you're going to do the answer.
Okay.
Have you tried on a costume?
No.
Good or evil?
Can't tell you.
You're in the movie, though, right?
Yes.
Big role or small?
Important.
That's not what I said. Have you read the script?
Yes.
So that's exactly what the quotes are. When we first discovered the possibility of Patrick Wilson being cast, several of you speculated he might be playing young Hank Pym. I think it's a very good chance that that's who this character will end up being, but really we have no clue what his role will be. I can kind of see that. Does he look like Michael Douglas? At all?
Does he really have to?
I don't know.
I mean, people change so much by the time they're 90, you know. He could very well be a young Michael Douglas.
Fair enough. And the last bit of Marvel news is we've got four contenders for the Doctor Doom in the Fantastic Four.
So, to be completely honest, I didn't mind the guy that was Doom the first time.
Just didn't like the story behind it.
Julian, I think his name was Julian. Yeah. I can't think of it right now. Currently, the four people that are out there to possibly do this part are Sam Riley from a movie called Control, Eddie Redmayne from Les Miserables, Toby Kebbell from Rock and Rolla, and Domino Gleeson from Judge Dredd.
Good job.
Those kind of sucked.
Notice a trend? All men with accents. At one point, Jack Houston was on the list for a part, but is no longer believed to be involved.
I think it's about damn time they get one with a European accent.
Because he's European?
They didn't have that in the first one.
You didn't say European. You said European.
Whatever. I'm from the South, yo.
So here's my only problem with this. I don't know any of them. I know the third one on this picture.
You know the third something. Guy? I'm fine with not knowing any of them. I've always told you with these comic book movies, I hate when they, if it's not an established franchise, which at this point they're starting over.
Right.
Don't bring in a ton of super well-known talent.
Right.
Even Kate Mara, who's going to play the Invisible Woman, she's known but not.
Right.
Like, you have to be in certain circles at this point to know who she is. But for the most part, people don't know who 90% of these people are.
Can I just say doing this at 11 o'clock is killing my stomach?
Hungry?
Yes. I'm just sitting, my stomach's sitting over here while you're talking.
That's why I got Panera before I got here. Brought to you by Panera.
I thought about telling you to get me something.
That's right. We're not brought to you by Panera. We're brought to you by Smart Water.
We're not brought to you by Smart Water.
It's just out of the fridge.
Yeah. So we got a little bit of DC news. Gotham's official synopsis and logo, the new Gotham show.
Yeah.
I'm getting more and more excited for this.
I'm super excited. That's a
cool logo.
I like it.
That is it. Oh, God, stop growling.
Do you think this ends up kind of like Chicago PD or something?
It could. Oh, have you watched that one?
No.
You watched the Chicago Fire, though, before.
A little bit.
Okay.
I can't watch firefighter stuff. Right.
The PD one was pretty good.
I don't watch PD shows anymore, so this will be a first for a while.
Fox has released the official logo design for their upcoming DC-inspired series, Gotham, along with detailed description of the series, cast, and storyline.
The quote is, "Everyone knows the name Commissioner Gordon. He is one of the crime world's greatest foes, a man whose reputation is synopsis with law and order."
Let's really try that word again.
I said synonymous with Law and Order. But what is known of Gordon's story and his rise from rookie detective to police commissioner? What did it take to navigate the multiple layers of corruption that secretly ruled Gotham City, the spawning ground of the world's most iconic villains? And what circumstances created them? The larger-than-life personas who would become Catwoman, Penguin, Riddler, Two-Face, and Joker.
Gotham is an origin story. I love me some origin stories!
Look at the origin horror!
Of the great DC comic supervillains and vigilantes, revealing an entirely new chapter that has never been told. It's from executive producer, writer Bruno Heller from The Mentalist in Rome. Gotham follows one cop's rise to a dangerously corrupt city teetering on the edge of evil, and chronicles the birth of one of the most popular superheroes of our time. I keep reading it. I like this article.
Yeah. It's a big, long crap. No, it's a giant article.
Oh, is it? No, it's not.
We're not reading the rest of it.
Well, let's see. Going on Gotham City's surrounding suburbs, James Gordon romanticized the city as a glamorous and exciting metropolis where his late father once served as a successful district attorney. Didn't know that.
I did not either.
Now, 2 weeks into his new job as Gotham City Detective and engaged to his beloved fiance, Barbara Keene, Gordon is living his dream, even as he hopes to restore the city back to the pure version he remembers it as a kid. Wow. This, like, there's a lot more, like 3 or 4 more paragraphs here. Really, really now want to watch this show.
Uh-huh.
Like, just those couple of paragraphs. You guys, if you haven't clicked the article in the chat, it should be there. You've got to read this. It'll be this.
On our...
It's on our Facebook page. Our
Facebook page.
Scroll down a few days and you'll find it.
Yeah.
This is... I like this.
I'm ready for this show. Like, everybody was a little skeptical, but I'm ready for this show.
And we got a little bit of flashness. This is more visual, so you audio listeners...
But go find it. There has been a release... for a full shot of Justin Gaston in the Flash costume.
Justin who?
Is it not Gaston? Gustin, sorry.
And his name's not Justin.
I'm dying this morning.
It's Grant Gustin.
Continue.
Really? Oh my goodness.
It's early. Ish.
Just, I can't even...
Anyway, there was a full picture release of the new Flash costume for CW's Flash, and...
It looks okay.
I'm not sad about it. They didn't muscle suit it up, which I was hoping they wouldn't.
Right.
I didn't want him... I never thought of Flash as a really bulky guy.
Right.
I thought about, you know, his body and his muscles are really tight and tense because of the speed, and so that's why he can punch people the way he does and stuff. And he has such power.
Right.
But I think his power derives from his speed.
It's a cool looking picture.
The front shot of the helmet is a little funky.
Yeah.
Like, you get a big...
I think we'll get used to it.
But I'm okay with this. It's a darker darker red. It's more of a
Here's crimson. What I hope. I hope they explain the suit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like he's a scientist. He will explain every damn thing about the suit.
When he was in...
See, like, look, where all the joints are, where everything moves,
yeah,
it's got that mesh.
Well, let's just say, you know, when he was in Arrow, he explained the mask, you know, that he made for Arrow.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that.
And right off of that, a little bit of comic book news. For those that still read the comics, we're getting clues as to the New 52's Wally West. And it's going to be in... Let's see what episode. According to Brett Booth, the new ongoing artist on The Flash, and the one drawing Wally's debut in next month's The Flash number 3... The character will be different. When asked by Newsarama about the biggest challenge the creative team faces in the debut of Wally West, Booth said getting people to accept this version.
Oh, that's not good.
That isn't good.
What could be, what could be different about this version of Wally West? What clues have we seen so far? So there's a cover clue. Perhaps the most tantalizing clue we've been given about the new Wally West came from the aforementioned Newsarama interview with Brett Booth. In the interview, Booth confirmed that Wally West is on the cover of Flash Annual number 3, the issue where he's supposed to be introduced. The most prominent character on that cover is the Future Flash, who Booth said is in the dark blue costume, but we're betting this new villainous-looking character is not Wally West, not only because he looks like a bad guy and all publicly from DC... all publicity from DC indicates Wally wouldn't change that much, but also because he's not the only choice on the cover.
Press the button. Let's take a look here. What do we got? I'm going with, if you go to the top, I'm going with dude getting hit by lightning up there in the middle of the picture.
I could see that. You made me click that. I don't think I can unclick it. Oh, there we go. So this will be interesting. So I imagine you'll be picking up a new Flash.
I started with the first Flash when it first came, the new 52 Flash when it first came out.
Right.
I just got behind. But I wouldn't mind it. I'd enjoy picking up Flash.
If it's only number 3, just grab the first two.
I think it's the Flash annual number 3.
It didn't say annual. So that'd be cool.
Wally West was a very popular Flash, so I think it'll be really cool to get him back.
You worried they might screw something up?
Yeah. I really am.
Some TV news. So everybody's favorite show, The Big Bang Theory,
has been renewed for not one,
not two,
but three more seasons.
I've always wanted to do that on this show. CBS has announced today a multi-year broadcast renewal for the top-rated, critically acclaimed comedy, The Big Bang Theory. It is the most, is TV's most-watched comedy and the top-rated broadcast entertainment show among adults 18 to 49. It's getting three more years.
What would that put it up to? What are we at now? Like 7?
I don't even know.
So it would put it up to like 10, 11 years?
Comedy is a big part of our schedule, and The Big Bang Theory is the biggest comedy force on television, said Tassler, chairman of CBS Entertainment. This multi-year deal further strengthens our network position for future seasons and marks another chapter in the great partnership CBS enjoys with Warner Brothers Television for delivering audiences the best in comedy.
They're going to end up just like the Friends cast.
You think it's just going to be like an epic end at the beginning of the end?
No. Like, by the last season, every one of them are making not like... their salary is going to be like $1 million an episode.
Right.
And on top of that, they're making bank already because of syndication.
Oh, dude. Like, they play like eight episodes a day on TBS.
Yeah. So, I mean, the... What happens is they wake up in the morning, you hear beep, 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 beep. That's the truck with checks backing up to their house going, here's this month.
Here's this month. Flip, flip. He's like, yes, thank you. Thank you, Jeebs. Then we got Heroes alum to guest star in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, see, I looked at the picture the first time and didn't know who the F it was. Marvel.com reports that Heroes alum Adrian Pasdar is set to appear on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in an upcoming episode as a classic Hulk antagonist, Glenn Talbot. And I now know who he is. He's the oldest of the brothers. The one who flew.
You're talking from Heroes?
Yes.
Oh, I know exactly who he is.
I couldn't remember because I never finished Heroes.
Okay.
So if you don't know who that is, the brother in Heroes that could fly.
Yeah.
The congressman, lawyer, whatever the hell he was.
Congressman.
That is who coming in. He looks weird, the porn stash.
Well, it's a military stash, but yeah, I gotcha. Let's see. Yeah, he says, we came through and it was fun to be on the set and work with these folks on the show. The way that they filmed my scene was very interesting, Pastar told Marvel.com about his experiences on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was a live feed. Coulson's team are in the control room, and I come over a monitor. So I was filming another room off of a camera, and it was a live feed to them. So it was really happening. I was in camera. It wasn't going to be superimposed, so my face would come on 8 feet tall and 6 feet wide. I don't know how much people can handle that, and I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't have to look at it. But it was fun to be able to talk to the camera, and they had a microphone set up and a speaker so I could hear their responses, and we played the scene out in real time. That's really cool.
Because you always assume that it's either a pre-recorded thing and they're timing their responses.
Right.
Or it's, like you said, superimposed. So that's really cool. I like that.
Last bit of TV news. Game of Thrones is going to end. I'm sorry. It's a thing. It's like Breaking Bad. All good things come to an end.
But not for at least 7 or 8 seasons.
Right. Did I scare you there for a second? Just making sure. ComingSoon.net says that Game of Thrones is to wrap up after 7 or 8 seasons. And I think they're only on like 4.
Yeah.
The April issue of Vanity Fair previews the upcoming 4th season of Game of Thrones. Hey, look at that. And features new cast photos by Annie Leibovitz, which you can view below. Let's look. Do we not recognize anybody? No, those are all the famous ones. The famous ones.
At this point, aren't they all famous?
Pretty much. The article also talks about how the show is catching up to the books and how long the series may go on. Show co-creator David Benioff says, last year, we went out to Santa Fe for a week to sit down with George R.R. Martin and just talk through where things are going because we don't know if we're going to catch up and where exactly that would be. If you know the ending, then you can lay the groundwork for it. And so we want to know how everything ends. We want to be able to set things up. So we just sat down with him and literally went through every character.
George R.R. Martin responded with, I can give them the broad strokes of what I intend to write, but the details aren't there yet. I'm hopeful that I cannot let them catch up with me.
Right.
This basically means they're pushing him, unintentionally, of course, to write faster than they produce.
Right. Benioff and co-creator D.B. Weiss said they would like to wrap it up after 7 or 8 seasons. It doesn't just keep on going because it can. I think the desire to milk more out of it is what would eventually kill it if we gave into that. And that's not a bad idea. I mean, shows like this in this big, grand, epic scope. I mean, like Big Bang Theory going on for another 3 years. They've already been through like 5 or 6.
What?
Seasons?
I think they're on 7.
Whatever. Anyways. But you can't do that with these big epic scopes because eventually you kind of have to have a quieting down of things.
You've got to have an ending.
And so
Big Bang Theory is about people in a, you know, an apartment building.
I think that's good because I think that allows them to do 2 things. A, it keeps it not necessarily fresh, but it keeps it from becoming the thing that's hated. And then 2, it lets them, once they're done with it, they can package it all and I will go buy the full 8 season thing of Game of Thrones and then veg out and lose me for a while. Video game news.
Real quick.
The Titanfall review. I've not played it. I've watched a little bit of it. There's a lot riding on the sturdy legs of Titanfall, the man versus mech online shooter hitting stores this week. Published by EA and developed by former Call of Duty vets at Respawn Entertainment, it's the biggest release thus far for the Xbox One. While it's not technically an exclusive, It's also coming to Xbox 360 and PC. It won't be appearing at all on the rival PS4 or Wii U. Without a Halo or Gears of War out yet for their fledgling next-gen system, and with sales lagging behind PS4, Microsoft is searching for a system seller.
I've not heard anything bad about it yet.
Let's see. I'm looking
for... You watched a little bit of it. Just kind of give us... What do you think?
Right. It looks really interesting. So here's like the what's hot, what's not. It looks like they gave it, 4.5 stars?
Yeah.
What's hot? Dropping a giant robot on an enemy's head. Jumping into the giant robot. Blowing up another giant robot. Ejecting out of your giant robot. Blowing up another giant robot on the way down. This game's got giant robots and knows what to do with them.
What's not? Limited game modes, and why are these robots fighting again?
Right, so there's no backstory behind it. I think it looks really good. Now, that being said, I don't play those kind
of
games.
To be completely honest, if it's a brand new style of first-person shooter, like, you know, first-person shooter is first-person shooter, but if you get new mechanics and things like that, I'm great, because I'm done with Call of Duties and Halos and everything else.
Right.
We've been playing those since the beginning, so I'm kind of out of it. So, we've got a picture here we're going to save...
There we go.
For the after party, if you guys want to hang around.
So, Spencer, throw that in the after party. And the last piece of news, little bit of chick news. You know we always like to end on the softer side of things.
How is this chick news, but we're going to do it anyway?
Because she's really smoking hot. CBS for News, Two Broke Girls, Season 4. And the only reason I care about this is because I don't watch the show, but it allows me to get further screenshots of Kat Dennings.
And her cleavage.
And her cleavage, which is amazing. I don't care about the article. Do you care about the article?
Not even a little.
Let's see. I'm just curious. What else they said?
Yesterday was the announcement for all the renewals.
Oh, the renewed comedies are Two Broke Girls, The Millers, Mike and Molly, Mom, and 2.5 Men.
Really? It's still getting renewed.
Oh, cool. This is a better article than we're giving it credit for.
The 9 dramas picked up. It's NCIS for like its 15th effing year. NCIS LA, Person of Interest, CSI. Hawaii 5-0, Blue Bloods, Criminal Minds, Elementary, and The Good Wife.
Yeah. What do we got? In alternative programming, the network announced pickups for its Emmy Award-winning reality show, The Amazing Race and Undercover Boss.
This is all CBS, by the way.
Right.
And then, of course, 60 Minutes and 48 Hours.
In addition to these 18 series CBS announced yesterday, okay, so we did that, The Big Bang Theory.
And also announced 2 more editions of the show that should have died years ago, Survivor.
I'm just curious, did we miss any?
No, I think we
missed. That's a cool article. Why wasn't that just TV news in general?
Because it had Kat Dennings' cleavage at the top.
Oh. Yeah. That was a cool little article. So that's it for the stories this week.
Our question of the week last week, with Netflix coming out with the sleep feature, possibly, what technical feature would you like added to your favorite technical product?
Dave Townsend says, I'd like an option to download the program/films onto your device to watch in offline mode. You can do that with some. Like, the Xfinity app lets you do that.
I don't have that. Netflix, I would, instead of paying $7 a month, I would pay $10 or $15 a month for that service if you had online, if you had like
offline mode,
offline, if you could pick a season and, you know, on your mobile device, go 6 episodes, download.
Right.
And download those 6
episodes. But how long would it let you keep them?
I think there is a runoff of say.
I'd say maybe like a week or at, or once you finish it.
Yeah, it erases itself once you've watched it.
Right.
Then you have to go re-download it. You can re-download every time, but I would pay for that in a heartbeat. James Tipper said, I'd like Hulu to 1, actually work. Hey, mine works just fine. 2, stop only having certain episodes of shows. Okay. If it was in sequential order, it would be one thing, but they have like episodes 3, 8, and 12 of S.H.I.E.L.D. on there. No, they have everything.
Don't ask me, I don't watch Hulu.
I have a Hulu Plus account, though.
Oh, yeah, I got you. So, for the pay-for thing.
So, what was our question of the week?
Let's see. Bold italics, there we go. What do you think the 9-picture deal includes for the character playing Bucky?
That lasted. Hadn't volume.
9-picture deal. For what's his name? Sebastian Stan?
Yeah.
That's not how you spell it, but whatever. Sebastian Stan. Bucky. That's what we want to know next week, because there was so much of that. I'd really like to know what you think the 9-picture deal includes for Sebastian Stan / Bucky.
Yeah.
Good. That's a good question.
And that is the end of our show this week. So if you're listening to it on audio, thank you for listening to yet another episode. We love it when you guys do that. If you're watching this live, thank you for joining us every week, as you always do. YouTube episodes will be updated when I come back from vacation. I'm about a week behind right now.
Right.
But youtube.com/nerdoftheNoob is where you can check that out most of the time on a weekly basis.
Don't forget, since we don't say it enough, go to iTunes. Give us a like or a review or whatever they do on there.
Yep.
Because we don't get enough of that.
And just like we did at the top of the show, if you want to contact us, you can get us on our email at nerdofthenoob@gmail.com. You can do our social media, which is nerdofthenoob.com, which takes you straight to our Facebook page. Twitch.tv/nerdofthenoob is the live feed.
Pretty much just Google Nerd and the Noob, and you can probably find us pretty easily.
Our individual Twitters are gman0184 and opaque_mango.
Give us a follow. I, to be honest, I spend more time on that Twitter than I do on the Nerd and the Noob one, so.
It happens. I still keep mine up as much as I can. But
other than that, guys, we hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next week. That being said,
possibility of changing the show to Monday night or Tuesday night if schedules don't allow, but we will do one next week because of our March Madness, our Nerd Madness going.
Right. We just have to figure out when, because I have to go out of town next weekend, and he's going out of town this week. So, all right, guys, we'll take it easy. Peace out.